Semper Fi to all my brothers and sisters of arms out there. It is no secret that many veterans struggle both mentally and physically upon returning from active duty. With the current suicide rate at 22 a day, there are many organizations standing up to help the men and women of the armed services. I'm your host, Sean Tiberio, and this is From the Battlefield to the Boardroom, where we make education the most powerful weapon you can own. Today I have Shanti Acevedo. I believe I got that perfect there.
Not perfect, but you got it.
Close enough on that. In the studio with us to help us uncover how the Veterans Center here in the Valley are doing their part to fight against veteran suffering. Now, Shanti, who is the outreach coordinator with the Veterans Centers here in the Valley, truly knows the ins and the outs of all the important information you're going to want to know. Shanti, thanks. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today on the air. How is everything going?
Everything's good. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. So tell me, what exactly is the focus of the outreach coordinator? And what does your day-to-day look like?
So my day-to-day basically starts off with meeting the veteran, what we call meeting the veteran where they're at. And that's basically in the community. And it's expanded over the years to meet the veteran where they're at, whether they're homeless, at in a college campus, at a work source or unemployment office, even at their place of business, if they work at a gym. Our primary focus is to let the veteran know whether they're homeless, they have a job, or they're looking for a job. My primary focus is to let them know that the Vet Center exists, because unfortunately, many veterans don't know that we even exist. For example, myself, when I didn't know about the military, I'm sorry, about the Vet Center until 5 or 6 years after I ETS'd from the Army.
I mean, I can totally relate to that. You and I were chatting just a brief bit before we jumped on the air, and I didn't even know that there was a Vet Center here in the Valley until one day I was just driving by and I saw it. So I can definitely see the importance of the outreach coordinator, and I love the fact that you kind of take it to the streets, right?
Yes.
We take it to where they're at.
Exactly.
Which actually leads me into another question here. You know, when we look at the mental state of a lot of veterans, right? There's no secret that veterans struggle,
right?
Whether it be mentally from, you know, PTSD type issues, or just trying to transition back into the day to day, and they don't have that band of brothers or sisters like they're used to. What do you think it is that, as you're out there in the streets bringing it to them, they don't know about it as one cause, but maybe those that did hear about it, what do you think stops them from even looking at the vet centers or coming in or realizing what kind of assistance they can get there?
It has a lot to do with, over the years that I've been doing this, I find that a lot of veterans, a lot of the younger OEF, veterans that deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, they're in what I call the white knuckle phase of their lives, where they're going to school, they have a full-time job, and they're just really juggling life right now with both hands. They got like 4-8 balls in the air, and they're trying to figure out how to make it work. And a lot of times, either A, they just don't have the time to either visit a vet center and see what's out there for them, or they pretty much stick by the pride and stigma behind PTSD. A lot of them feel like, I'm too man for this, I don't need it, and I don't have it, or they, you know, it's really until they get into trouble with the law, or it's court mandated that they come to the vet center and see us for counseling. Because believe it or not, we do have a lot of veterans that come to our vet center that are court mandated because of domestic violence or other crimes that they've been committed.
So basically because of some incident or whatever, they've pretty much been told that that's kind of part of their follow-up. I don't like to call it a punishment, but kind of in a sense, their punishment or a follow-up piece that they got to.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, I mean, it's better than jail time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would take treatment over jail time any day of the week.
Right.
You know?
Awesome. So for yourself, you're a vet.
Yes.
And thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
What got you kind of involved in working with the Vet Center? What was kind of that piece that called you into it?
You know, before I took this job, I was working at a Brinks Armored Truck Company. And they hire a lot of veterans. Because of the paramilitary background.
Yep.
And my messenger at the time ended up committing suicide. He was an Army Ranger, and he ended up committing suicide. And then I started hearing more and more, you know, about the 22 a day, back in 2009, 2010. And I went to the VA one day because I got injured climbing down off a Brinks truck mm-hmm. and busted my knee. And one of the guys that worked there that I became really good friends with said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing here?" I said, "Hey, I busted my knee. I'm here to get treatment for my knee." Well, he saw me. I was all disgruntled. "Hey, what are you doing here?" I said, "I don't like my job." And so he's like, "Hey, what, do you want to come work for us?" And I go, "What, doing what?" He goes, "Outreach coordinator." Basically informing veterans about the VA and their benefits. I'm like, "Sure, why not?" Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact that I had just lost a buddy to suicide, I wanted to do more. And that was like kind of my calling at the time. I didn't figure it would go this long. You know, here I am 7-8 years later.
Awesome. At the Vet Center, is it primarily employees? We got volunteers. How does it work?
Primarily it's employees. Mm-hmm. And then we have work studies. Currently the Vet Center doesn't carry volunteers on staff. Mm-hmm. The VA does, but the Vet Center doesn't right now. But we do have employees and work studies.
Awesome. So since there's no volunteers, let's say somebody's out there, because I can relate totally. I've lost a number of really close friends to PTSD issues, suicide. Let's say somebody's out there listening to this and they want to get involved and help out a little bit.
You know, they can always visit their local VA. Every VA has a voluntary service center, mm-hmm. and they're accepting volunteers on, it really depends on if they, what the need is. But if they want to volunteer, there's tons of organizations like there's nonprofits out there like Habitat for Humanity that builds homes for vets. And that's a really good way to give back or volunteer. There's tons of committees out there. The Veterans Parade in Pacoima, there's a committee out there for that where there's a bunch of civilians that volunteer to give their time to contribute to that parade and making it happen and make a very festive event for veterans coming back or veterans that have been here for quite some time.
Nice. So I'm hearing there's a little bit of a difference between a vet center and, let's say, just the regular VA. So what separates the vet center? What makes them a little bit different? What is it, a different mission, a different focus?
Yeah, it's completely, it is focused on a couple things. So it's primarily readjustment counseling for combat veterans and their families. The Vet Centers were started back in the late 1970s after the Vietnam War. As you may or may not know, the Vietnam veterans were mm-hmm. welcomed gracefully. And so the Vet Centers, there was a group of people that used to work at the VA that saw this, that were veterans themselves, not necessarily Vietnam War veterans, but they were veterans themselves and decided to kind of branch off and do their own thing. And it used to be called Operation Outreach.
That was the name of the
That was the original name of the Vet Center, which kind of has that non-profit-y like name to it. Mm-hmm. But in 1976, Senator Alan Cranston made it public law and it expanded the VA and kind of gave it into like its own arm, and it called it the Vet Center, which originally was in Santa Monica, in Venice Beach, I'm sorry. And over the years, it's expanded to over 300 Vet Centers in the country. So wow. we focus primarily on readjustment counseling for PTSD, combat mm-hmm. veterans and their families. And over the years, like I said, it expanded to different services like military sexual trauma, bereavement counseling for any aunts or uncles or other family members that might have lost a veteran downrange, and also recreational therapy. We've opened up to our services to a lot of veterans in different ways.
Now, when you say family, is it restricted in any way? Is it immediate family or is it just anybody that's part of the kind of
primarily we see most of the family members that come in, we are family members, like immediate family members. But you know, if it's an aunt, uncle, like it doesn't have to be immediate. So long as they felt like their lives were impacted by the loss of that veteran, they will see that family member as many times as it takes.
Gotcha. Awesome. So you said it's an arm in a sense of a VA,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Is it part of the VA? Is this something different? I'm putting myself in the shoe. I'm a brand new veteran maybe to this area and I'm just trying to figure this out. Like, what type of benefits do I get out of this one versus this one? Why would I go to one? Why would I go to the other?
So I'm glad you asked that question. The way I like to explain it to veterans and sort of like, kind of dumb it down a little bit is, the Vet Center is like the Army. You got the VA Marines, Then you got the VBA, the Veterans Benefits Administration. They're like the Air Force. So it's all the department, the DOD, but it's mm-hmm. different branches. The Vet Center being the newest, like the baby brother of the group.
Gotcha.
And our eligibility is different to where we don't really care about income. So you can be making $100,000, $120,000, doesn't really matter. And we also don't care about discharge status.
Gotcha.
So as you know, the VA, they yeah. do, like, you can't be an OTH other than honorable, general and honorable. With us, as long as you served in combat or if you experience MST, military sexual trauma, mm-hmm. we'll take your word for it and we'll see you for as many times as it takes to get you back on track.
So when you say as long as you served in combat, I know, you know, we're in a very awkward time right now. Where does that OEF, OIF kind of deadline, has it even hit, or are we still kind of in that category?
Our eligibility is, as far as what we've been told from higher-ups, is as long as you have a Global War Expeditionary Medal on your DD-214, mm-hmm. that GWAT, then we will service you. I mean, we realize that combat extends into the, you know, Horn of Africa. You could be on a ship, you know, and so there's always that danger, right, of war even coming to the sea. So we don't exclude those service members. We've gotcha. Also expanded our services to drone operators.
Okay.
In combat, mm-hmm. as we realize that they're watching through their camera, they might have seen something that they might have caused a traumatic
situation or a memory. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So as the outreach coordinator, right, you're out there, you're in the street, you're bumping into guys, and it really, it's kind of like your mission is to go find them mm-hmm. all the time. What are some of the common traits that you're seeing out there, and then when they get into the Vet Center, in a sense, I'm asking, what are we seeing out there? Because there's a lot of people that they care about veterans, because it's easy to say that,
right?
But they don't maybe not really understand what veterans are truly suffering with out there. And then what are some of the results that you're seeing upon them getting involved with the Vet Centers and your services starting to help out?
You know, over the years, since the wars have kind of died down, Iraq and Afghanistan, we've started to see a slight decline in veterans coming to see us. I know at the height of the wars, 2008, 2009, we had many veterans coming to see us. But just from my perspective, or where I can, my standpoint, where I bring in a veteran for services, we see them for PTSD counseling. I myself will assist them with benefits, informing them of what they're entitled to, because a lot of them don't even know what a service connection disability rating is. From point A to point Z, mm-hmm. There's like night and day. They walk out of there with a wealth of knowledge that brightens their day, believe it or not. And, you know, they've gone on to have more meaningful and successful lives. I know I've been told at least 20 or 50 times, "Hey, Shanti, I owe you a steak dinner." Ask me how many steak dinners I've gotten. Zero, you know, because they leave, you know, they get service connected. They get that monthly stipend, mm-hmm. They go to school. They're on voc rehab, or they go to the GI Bill, and they go to buy homes. They utilize the GI Bill and the VA home loan, mm-hmm. and they go on to be productive citizens of America, and never to be seen again, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
So long as I don't hear they committed suicide. But if I don't see them again, that means I did my job, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good feeling.
So what kind of benefits are you helping them? Let's say there's somebody listening to this right now, and they're like, I don't even know what type of benefits, you know, service individuals get, you know, veterans get upon EASing, end of active service, right? What are some of these benefits that you guys work with them on, help them get in place? You know, I guess a little bit more detail too as to the programs that you guys have, because it's not always just on the counseling side.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, believe it or not, money puts a smile on a lot of people's faces.
Absolutely.
Money is not the means of everything, but it does help, right? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, a lot of veterans come to us, they have financial issues, and it just really depends. If the veteran walks in and says, "I'm having issues meeting the rent every month," the very first thing I ask them is, did you serve in Iraq or Afghanistan? Did you get hurt in during active duty? And then we'll go from there as far as getting them to a veteran service officer with the county to file a claim and getting that claim adjudicated and getting them that monetary compensation that they deserve.
For the injury.
For the injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, believe it or not, a lot of veterans don't know that there's also secondary conditions. So they can file for your, they can file for a right knee condition.
Mm-hmm.
And then the once they get granted that right knee condition, it's an automatic, they can file for a left knee as well. Because what happens is when you get injured on your right, what do?
You overcompensate.
You compensate and you start leaning over to your left and therefore causing pain. A lot of veterans don't know that, but that's an, also an extra 10%. Add that to the 10 you already have, that's 20. So it's like $250 a month that they would have never known had they not never walked into a veteran service organization or the vet center or the VA.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's just a small...
That's a small portion. I mean, there's tons of benefits out there. I mean, we could sit here probably for about 2 to 3 hours talking about benefits in itself. But one thing I highly recommend doing is go to your local vet center or go to your local, meet with your Google CalVet representative. You could even Google the CalVet resource book. The 2019 version is already out. And you could basically navigate that book, and that's like the Bible of benefits. I mean, if you just took one day out of your life to read that whole book, or just a whole week and just read through that book, you'd probably be more educated on benefits than you were at any point in your life. I mean, you'd be more of an expert than the average veteran walking around college campuses right now. So it's
for
a good
sure.
thing. Good thing to read. Good book.
For sure. I might have to download that myself and look through it to see if there's any. Matter of fact, that kind of brings another question. What's something that most veterans, I mean, obviously the secondary claim or the secondary conditions are not one of them, but what's something that maybe most veterans don't even think about or that is out there and you see it all the time? You guys are constantly talking about it.
Oh, TBI, sleep apnea. A lot of those things are associated to PTSD, particularly sleep apnea. You know, there's tons of things that once you file for one connection, once disability, you can file for other things as well. Like PTSD, for example, you can go ahead and file for migraine headaches linked to PTSD, and they'll give you guarantee you anything, but as long as you have the certain symptoms that they look at as far as what the medical responses are, then they'll go ahead and grant you that claim.
Yeah, and you actually kind of started to say something that brings up a good point. It's not like we're trying to, or you guys aren't trying to find every loophole to kind of milk a system in a sense, but, you know, they're out there on the battlefield.
Right.
And they've served the country, and it kind of goes back to why the whole Vet Center started, you know, with the vets coming home from Vietnam and nobody really caring too much about them.
Yeah.
But these guys and gals, you know, we're out there, we're putting in our hard energy and, you know, we're just looking for the benefits that we're entitled to. And sometimes let's be honest, the VA doesn't always openly discuss everything when we're getting out as to what we're entitled to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's say you've got, you know, we're here on a college campus right now, and you're out walking around. Just kind of give me a rundown of who it is that you're, you know, speaking to in a sense. You got the open mic in a sense. You know, your audience is out there listening. What's some things that you would tell them to maybe encourage them to look into some of these options?
Are you meaning like if I'm just randomly walking around college?
Yeah, if you're just here or even just out on the streets.
You know, well, what I like to do first when I visit college campuses is I get familiarize myself with the Veterans Resource Center because of that's kind of like the hub of where all the veterans sort of make their way to get certified for their GI Bill or their voc rehab program. So I like to get in touch with the VRC coordinator or whoever the office manager is there. And give them my information, you know. But I've done a pop up at Moore Park College where I set up a tent or one of those pop up shade tents and a table and just in the middle of the campus. And as people are walking by, you know, veterans or not, you'd be surprised. Most college attendees, their fathers and mothers are veterans.
Yep.
That are actually coming here because of the dependent, the college fee dependent program. And they'll pass on that information from the vet center to their mothers and fathers, aunts, uncles, or brothers.
Yeah.
So it's really, you can never really miss in this type of work. There's always someone that knows a veteran. And I've been going to a lot of places where there's veterans, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm not combat, or I don't have PTSD." I say, "Well, okay, you can do me a favor and pass this information to someone who, in the future, you may feel needed,
mm-hmm.
and you never know if you may save a life."
Definitely. So, so we got another couple minutes here. I got one last question for you. You know, with the vet centers, the VA, there's always things happening, right, in the local communities. Always a lot of stuff going on. You guys may not be directly kind of hosting any of these, but what do you know that's happening, you know, over the next couple of weeks? We got November right around the corner, big Veterans Day, you know, activities, got the Marine Corps birthday, my favorite, all rolling up in there. So what's some things that are maybe going on that vets can be part of, or those that want to help, you know, support some veterans that can get out to?
In the San Fernando Valley particularly, we do have a parade coming up on November 10th in Pacoima. They do have a Facebook page. And then they also have a first of its kind this year from Councilwoman Rodriguez. Is putting on a Veterans Festival at the Richie Valens Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on November 11th from like 9 to 2 or 9 to 3, where they're going to have it kind of like a stand down. Organized like a stand down where there'll be a bunch of resources and, you know, free stuff and, you know, some
games
and for the kids and stuff like that. Good day to come out and enjoy the day and nice weather in California, even though we're in the fall, winter, whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the change of season coming up. So
yeah.
Awesome. And then final thing, how can some people get in touch with you? Maybe they know a veteran and they just don't know how to guide them, and they just want to get them in touch with you. How can those out there listening contact you?
I mean, is it okay for me to say the phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll put that even in the little piece afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this, the easiest way to get a hold of the vet center, is go to the vetcenter.va.gov, and you type in your zip code, and all the nearest local vet centers will pop up close to you. All the phone numbers. You even have keys, all the key staff, all the names of all the office managers, the counselors, the outreach coordinators from that vet center,
mm-hmm.
so that when you walk in, you already have a name to the face and who you're looking for.
Nice.
But yeah, the vetcenter.va.gov, type in your zip code, all the veterans centers will pop up closest to you. That's probably the easiest way in case you're listening to this from a different city or state.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Shanti, thanks for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. I know we can, I say it pretty much every episode, you get a bunch of veterans around a table and start chatting, especially on the benefit side and helping each other out. We can talk forever, but thanks for coming. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Appreciate
it. Until next time, guys, on From the Battlefield to the Boardroom, keep zeroing in that weapon of education. Reach out, hit the vet centers up, find out what different benefits you can get your entitlements of, get yourself some assistance with. And until next time, I'm Sean Tiberio with KPCRadio.com.